All right, brother. So go ahead. We are going to start another topic about, I think it's recreation.
Yes. So, well, what led to it is we were talking about sin and the way Satan takes something that's really sinful and then he tries to rebrand it and give it a different name that doesn't make it seem quite as bad. And so we kind of started this little exercise between us, and I think it's really edifying. You take a topic that you know is sinful, and then you go through and discern to see if you can give it its proper name to help you counter it and see it for what it is. And then Brother Akuo brought up things like recreational things, like, you know, kayaking, swimming, frisbee golf, etc., like sports, things that you go in the flesh to just do fleshly recreational things. So, Brother Akuo, why don't you share everything that we discerned and talked about?
So we were going over those activities, kind of searching through the scriptures, seeing what the Lord says about things like that. And I wrote down a few points that we talked about, how recreational activities like this are sin, because that was the big thing that sparked it for me, is I kind of want to solidify, well, how is this a sin? Does the Lord have leeway for this at all? Because I want to solidify my hate for sin. So I want to hate every evil way. So the first point here I wrote, it's not redeeming the time, though commanded twice in scripture. So it's commanded twice in the New Testament to redeem the time. But
you got, do you have those verse, do you have those verses?
Let's see. I have one of them. It's Ephesians 5:17. And then I can look up, let's see. And then Colossians 4:5.
Why don't you read those for us?
Okay. Or Ephesians 5:16. Okay, I see. So it says, I'll start at 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And then Colossians 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw a note in there when we were talking about redeeming the time. I guess the question is that we talked about is, do we see when Jesus said that we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that something like not redeeming the time and being wasted is a serious sin because it goes against a clear command in Scripture, the same way that we would, for example, see getting completely drunk as a sin, because drunkenness is clearly forbidden in Scripture? Or do we put it in a level that it's not, that God doesn't put it on? Because if redeeming the time is commanded and we disobey, then it's the same sin to not redeem the time as it is to get drunk, because the Word of God tells us to not get drunk and to be of a sober mind. And another verse that Brother Akuo had brought up was one of the sins that the Lord points out for Sodom and Gomorrah was idleness.
Yeah.
And then he shared Ezekiel 16:49-50. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. See, people, just interjecting here, people like to point to Sodomites with homosexuality, but God says it was more than just that. He says, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters.
Hey, that sounds like America.
Oh, yeah.
Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good.
Yeah.
So I just want to interject that in when we were talking about that. So what else did we come up with, Brother Akuo?
So the next point, and I think this is a big one, and a lot of professing Christians don't think about this. We're not warning our neighbor of their impending destruction. So And the verse that came to mind when I was thinking about that is, let's see. It was the verse, oh, I don't have it saved, but it was the verse where God said he didn't, the Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And I think that's really important to understand is the second commandment. The first one is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the second one is love your neighbor. And we love our neighbor by telling them they're in sin. They need a savior. They need to turn from their sin. And if we're just taking all the time we have, not redeeming the time to participate in activities that please our flesh, we're literally just letting these people walk toward destruction without doing anything. So,
yeah.
And another verse that also came up that ties into that one was, Ezekiel 33. If we know and see this impending doom on people, and we basically are the watchman on the wall, and we don't sound the alarm, it's basically like, hey, destruction's coming in the city, the army's basically sleeping, and these raiders are coming and the gates are wide open, and well, hey, I want to go kayaking, hey, that blood's going to be in your hands. It's serious thought to think about.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of aspects to the topic of recreation, because first you got to define it. You know, it's, you mentioned drunkenness. First, you got to define it. What exactly does that mean? Because there's different aspects to it. Like drinking one glass of alcoholic wine is not drunkenness, right?
Yeah. Well, we're not talking again here about like biblically just to go recreate and rest when you need it. We're talking about what the world considers recreation activities and sports and fleshly activities. The same way, we're not talking about somebody who perhaps has a glass of wine, but somebody who's getting drunk. They're not doing it in God's order, I guess.
Yeah, so my point was, so we have to define it. So recreation, and I think Brother Akuo just hit on it. Maybe Brother Kevin has a thought on this. I would say recreation is something that is to the flesh. Would you agree, Brother Kevin?
As the world sees it, yes.
Yeah. So instead of taking a walk on a trail and you're thinking about scripture and you're kind of praying to God and you're trying to restore yourself because you had a hard day, long day, whatever, you're in the spirit, you go out and you decide you're going kayaking because I love to kayak and paddle and I love it in my flesh. So that's kind of like a big difference, isn't it? So recreation versus the recreation. So recreation, wouldn't that be another one? Romans 8:8, you can't please God when you're in your flesh. So if you're biking, mountain biking, or you're jogging, or like the young man I just witnessed to the other day, he was like me. I used to be a bodybuilder when I was a pagan. He's pumping weights and showing his body off. He said it makes him feel so good. Is he in the spirit or is he in the flesh?
The flesh.
Yeah, he can't please God in the flesh. So would that not be another one? I don't know if you got that written down, Brother Kuo. It would be in the flesh, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Totally walking in the flesh. What else did you guys talk about?
To add to that, walking in the flesh, 1 John, I believe it's, 1 John 2:15-16. It's kind of a death knell for this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Yeah.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. So no man can please God in the flesh, neither of the flesh that cannot please God.
Hey, Brother Kevin, can you look up Romans 12 and read verse 2 for us?
Will do.
I'm going to go on another angle here.
Romans 12:2.
You just talked about not loving the things of the world. Go ahead.
And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah,
that
so
ye may prove.
Go ahead.
What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God?
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. So we're not to conform to the world. is recreation, all these things we talk about, is it of the Father or is it of the world?
It's the world.
Yeah. So we don't conform to it. And then that would take us to where Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. They're not of the world. So it's a good litmus test for our lives and people we witness to. Are you following Christ out of the world? Because if you're still like the world, you're not his sheep. And doesn't recreation fall into that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What else? What else did you guys talk about?
The third point that I put down, this is kind of the last thing we talked about today. So a lot of times recreational activities, I would say there's a lot of indirect sin that comes from them. So one big thing would be oftentimes recreational activities put the body on display.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of completely against what God has ordained for sin coverings and just the peace and joy and the Holy Spirit, which is just the calm and everything. And it's almost, I kind of made a point when I was talking to Brother Patrick, something kind of came into my mind. It's like, it's almost like a form of dancing. It's almost like worshiping the flesh when you're like moving your body around, jumping in these sports or doing these things. You're almost like worshiping like the flesh and like showing off the body and all of this. So,
oh yeah,
it can be like directly against God's word, or it can be like indirect, like yeah. That. But,
Did some holy man of God say physical exercise is of little avail?
Yeah.
Who said that, brothers?
I think it was Brother Paul, if I remember, to a young man called Timothy.
He was. It was Brother Paul. So he talks about physical exercise is of little avail. And yeah, Brother Kuhl is right. People get in their flesh and they show off their flesh, and it's massive hypocrisy. And they've separated their Christian life, talking about Christians here, so-called Christians, they separate their Christian life from their worldly life, and they think it's okay to have like two separate lives, but kind of like being married and having two separate lives. Would that work, Brother Patrick?
Not for long. If you tried, you could probably force it in hypocrisy for a very short time, but
yeah.
No, it will not work.
Yeah. Brother Kevin, can you think of any other... he said they had 3 points. I'm sure they could come up with a lot more. Can you think of any other points about recreation that would mean it would take it outside of God's word? I'm thinking of one glaring one, but let's see if you and I are in the same thought wave.
I was thinking in Romans about reaping to the flesh.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yep. So you reap what you sow kind of mindset?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Brother Patrick? Any other ones that kind of jump out at you about recreation?
There's a bunch. Like, you're not serving God. You're not loving your neighbor.
Yeah.
Like, we covered a bunch of them. But, yeah, there's a ton. Which one are you thinking of?
How about this? Brother Kuo, look up verse 1 Corinthians 11, 1. And read it to us. I'm gonna go to the core of who we are and who we're supposed to be like.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ.
Yeah, now that translation is another example where King James just totally drops the ball. Paul's not telling us to follow him. The better in the Greek means imitator. Imitate me as I imitate Christ, and we all know we're following Christ. We're all disciples of Jesus Christ. And so I have a question. Hey, brothers, we had a good Bible study. Hey, let's all go out and shoot hoops in our little shorts and our little shirts and have some recreation. How is that imitating Paul and Jesus in any way, brothers?
It's not.
Yeah, it's not.
And so...
No.
I'm going to test Brother Kevin. Brother Kevin, what do we always talk about? What are the five things, basically, that the men that we're supposed to imitate, what did they focus on in their lives? These, one was God himself in the flesh. The other one was called of God. I'm talking about Jesus and Paul. Called of God to proclaim the mysteries of the gospel. What did they focus on in their life, Brother Kevin?
They basically slept, they worked, they did ministry, they recreated, and they edified each other.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Can you other brothers, am I missing something? Do we miss anything where Jesus and Paul did anything other than that? They slept, they worked when they had to. They occasionally, we saw some restoring. We got to be careful that we don't get, we got to be careful. Restoring can become recreation if we do it too often. They fellowship with brothers, studying, fellowship, and they preach the gospel. That's all they did. They didn't get, I love the, it's not biblical, not in the Bible, but I don't know if you guys have ever done that. I love to read some of the historical writings only because I like to see like what people around the time frame, like in the second and third century. I love when you read about the like Christians, they said, these are secular historians. They said, these Christians are a weird bunch. They will have nothing to do with our feasts and our festivals. The writers actually said that. And it's like the Christians were like, we don't want nothing to do with all that. That's not who we are. And Jesus and Paul did not do all of this stuff that we see people doing, so-called Christians doing. So I would start right at the baser model and say, Jesus and Paul didn't do it. Why are we doing it?
Yeah, I have a thought to toss in here on that note. Test me here. This is probably a good litmus test for what's good, pure, and true as well. We are called to be the... we're not called to be. Well, we are, but the scripture says that we are the temple of the living God and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Here's a question. Would you do these activities... if you could go back in time to the Jewish temple or the tabernacle, would you go and do these activities in the courtyard of the temple?
Sorry, I had to chuckle because that's just so obtuse even thinking about it.
Yeah, well, hey, it's just like imitating Jesus or Paul here.
Yeah.
If we're like, would you go play sports? Would you go play football or hockey or soccer or tennis or kayaking or swimming naked, which is what it is? Would you go do all of that in the tabernacle courtyard before Moses and the Levites and a holy God?
Yeah.
If that would seem bizarre and blasphemous to you, then ask yourself, why would you do them with the temple of the living God?
Amen. Yeah, that's the temple of the living God, our bodies. That's a big theology because it covers how we're supposed to live, where we're supposed to take it, how we spend time with it, how we're not to tat it up and pierce it, and how we're not to dress it in pride and vanity, showing it off. So that theology of the temple of your Holy Spirit, your body, is really, really big. Because most people in churchianity go, oh yeah, it embodies the temple of the Holy Spirit. But they don't reverence it. They don't treat it that way. They don't biblically address it or dress it that way. They just go, yeah, it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Apparently, you can take the temple of God and paint its toenails pink and pierce its nose and pierce its eyes and cover it with tats and dress biblically naked. Apparently you can do that to them with the temple of God. And then when you say, isn't it holy? Because God's holy? Well, yeah. How is this holy? Oh, you're a legalist, so we disagree to disagree, and they walk away. So yeah, that's a good point. Would you do it then? You got wicked, I just put up my testing of John MacArthur, I got it tweaked, Sister Amin got it done for me. You got wicked men like Calvinist evangelical John MacArthur. He's got a college called Masters University. Their mascot is the Masters Mustang. They have all kinds of sports teams. This is a Christian college. They also have Masters Seminary. But they have all kinds of sports teams. They have women's track teams, if you've ever seen how they dress, and men. They have football, baseball. They have, ready for this one? They just started it. They raised like $1 million. Can you imagine that? A Christian college raising all kinds of money to put up a beach volleyball court because they have beach volleyball now. And we're not even going to talk about how those women dress on the beach playing volleyball. This is the kind of thing that they pass off as Christian, holy, and godly. It's profane is what it is. Amen, brothers?
Amen.
And that's recreation. They call it recreation.
Well, we are called, be ye holy as I am holy.
Yep.
It doesn't say that we choose the standard of holiness now. It says that we're holy as God is holy.
Yep.
Our standard is incredibly high.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I've got a lot of teaching articles on my website about recreation sports because you guys are going to find out, especially you younger brothers that are just doing street ministry, you're going to find out like sports is like the hill that many men and women die on. They love their football. They love their marathon running. They love their bicycling. They love that. They will choose that over the love of the brethren. And that's how these churches... real quick, we were in Wyoming one time at a campground. They saw our gospel signs in our van. It was a free campground, so we stopped there. And this guy came over and invited me to a Bible study. Yeah, a Baptist guy. Imagine that. He invited me over. I actually went. I told Sister Om, we're going. They said, we're doing kayak ministry. Kayak ministry. So we walked over and they were eating. I said, no, we're not going to eat. I said, we don't want to bother you. He said, let me know when the Bible study starts. Oh, yeah, we're going to start in 10 minutes. We sat down. They went kayaking for 6 hours in a beautiful river. And guess what their Bible study was? It was reading one psalm. I think it was four verses. And the guy talked about it for 10 minutes. That was it. And that's their ministry. They take people kayaking. I call it funistry. It's not ministry. It's called funistry. They take people kayaking, and then they talk for 10 minutes. And after it was done, I said, can I ask you a question? They said, what? I said, did you cover the gospel? And they're like, well, no. And I'm like, don't you have people here that aren't Christians? They're like, well, yeah. So I covered the gospel, and they all agreed with the gospel until I started getting into what holiness, what obedience was. And I actually covered. I said, how can you waste your life fishing, kayaking? We're supposed to be preaching the gospel. Well, of course, they did the usual things. They called me a legalist. They told me that God doesn't care what we do, and Jesus died for our sins, and we can't do nothing. And guess when they threw me out, brothers? You know when they threw me out? It lasted about, I actually have an audio up of this. It lasted about maybe 35 minutes of me trying to reason with the men, and the women were trying to get at me. Guess when they told me, you got to leave now? I made their atheist visitor angry. And the guy came up to me and he goes, you made the atheist mad. Get out of here now. And a bunch of Baptists threw me and Sister Amin out of there. I said, you invited me. They said, we want you to leave now. They threw us out because my preaching about the cross of Christ and his shed blood and the only way and you got to repent. They said, you offended the atheist. You got to go now. So I was pretty happy about that. My preaching offended an atheist. If your preaching ever makes an atheist happy, you got problems, brothers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amen.
But I call that funistry. Yeah. So good topic, recreation. We see it all over the churchianity. We see it all over the world. And we're always going to have to refute it rightly and call people out of it and use the word of God. They have no defense for it whatsoever. Their carnality, their sin, their lasciviousness, their fleshly ways. How about this one? Oftentimes recreation is in competitive sports. Is that not covetous?
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if I said, hey, we're like a house fellowship body. Hey, guys, let's practice hockey. I know another house fellowship. They're in a house fellowship church hockey league. And we could play, and then we're trying to outdo them to win a trophy. How is that not covetous over your neighbor?
Brother, if we ever met another house fellowship and what we did with them is play hockey... I think something's really wrong.
We got a problem, don't we, brother?
Yes, we do.
We got a problem.
So, sort of to throw the last thing on this, the reason we're talking about this, and hopefully we're going to do a lot more things, is so the world calls it recreation, fun activities, but to give sin its proper name, what is the proper name to call this?
Well, from my standpoint, I think there's quite a few, quite frankly.
Well, let's have some of them so that we all know when we run into this. Again, if you call sin, sin, you call it out properly.
Yeah. So the first one I would say is it's carnality. It's carnal. It's of the flesh. It woos your flesh and makes you walk and operate in the flesh. You can't please God in the flesh. The carnal man is not the things of God. So first one I would say is it's carnal.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was thinking fleshly too. So
carnal, yeah, carnal, fleshly. Carnal, fleshly. So we already have it's not redeeming the time. Carnal and fleshly. I mentioned covetous, if you want to use biblical terms. What else? What else? Brother Kevin, any thoughts?
Fleshly. They're probably doing it because it's their idol, honestly. So,
yep.
Right there.
Good one. Idolatry. They kayak 10 hours a week, but they read the Bible 5 minutes every morning. That's it.
So how about this one? It's spiritual laziness and hating your neighbor.
Yep. Brother Kuo, are you writing these down?
I am, yep.
Yeah. So say that one again, Patrick.
It's spiritual laziness and hating your neighbor, because you're not loving your neighbor doing it.
Yep.
So you must hate him.
Yep. So I got two while they're in my mind. I'm gonna say them. It's selfish. You're doing your own thing while people are dying, going to hell, and you're not doing what God called you to do. So you're selfish against God. You're selfish against your neighbor, right?
Yes.
Yep.
And then how about, is it prideful?
Oh yeah, a lot of them are definitely prideful.
We were parked here. I'm at a little park, and there was a boat launch here. We were here the other night doing ministry, and about 15 guys showed up with bass boats. They have a little bass tournament. You see these guys with these polished bass boats, and they got all the decals on them, and they're fishing to see who wins the biggest bass. Man, this is pride.
Yeah, it's pride. A lot of it, most of it, Brother Ku already mentioned, a lot of it involves biblical nakedness.
Yep. Yep, there's another one, which would go under the flesh and carnality. But yeah, I'd put that one as separate. I would say absolutely. It's it does not address your temple properly. Because I've never seen anybody running a marathon in a tunic.
Yeah. And I guess it's apostasy. Let's just call it its real true name. It's apostasy, because you're not following and imitating Christ, therefore you've fallen away from him.
Yeah, if we're talking about claim Christians, yeah, then it would be apostasy. Let's think about that one. Let's test that. So we're talking about Christians, the so-called Christians that go and do this activity, right?
Yeah, people who claim Christ,
okay,
but who are basically holding on and doing all of these recreational, time-wasting,
yeah,
not loving their neighbor, biblical nakedness, idolatrous activities.
Yep. Yeah, if you add all those teachings to it, then I would say it's apostasy. I just went for a second, I went, apostasy is usually about doctrine. Doctrine is about instruction. Yep, it instructs us how to dress, it instructs us how to spend our time. Yep, it would fall under heresy and apostasy. The only reason I balked it for a minute, technically, it would be heresy, a schism from sound doctrine. Do you guys all know what apostasy is?
I think it's falling away from the faith.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Apostasy leans more along the line like you were a Christian. Now you're no longer a Christian. You've apostatized completely. I think heresy would probably be more accurate. That's a schism against false doctrine, or a schism against true doctrine.
Okay. Because I guess those people could still repent
yep,
and they still name Christ and
yep,
not. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Good catch, brother. A better term would probably then be heresy, yeah.
Well, we'd have to look at, like you said, we'd have to look and see what the Greek is on apostasy, and everybody's got a different angle. But I definitely think apostasy is more of like turned away from Christ, turned away from the faith, whereas heresy would be I'm bringing all my sin into the faith.
Okay, yeah. Good catch, brother.
What else? Anything else that we can think of?
I think it could be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God.
Yeah. Definitely. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, that kind of falls under idolatry, but yeah, it definitely is. Ready? Worldly. It's worldly. We already talked about it, but it's definitely worldly. How about this one? Ready? How about, does it help or ruin your witness?
You're not imitating Jesus. What are you witnessing for?
Yeah, exactly. So all of these things, I mean, is there... let's take the reverse angle, brothers. We're listing all this stuff that makes it unbiblical. Is there anything biblical about women playing volleyball near nakedness, men running around, running marathons near nakedness, people doing... Is there anything biblical about it? We're talking about everything that's not biblical. Is there anything redeeming about it?
Not that I can think of.
Well, I told Sister Amanis, we drove by the other day and I saw a golf course. And I saw some men on the golf course and the ones that were pulling their little golf carts. And I said, well, I said, I'll say one thing about golf. I said, I don't know if they're covetous. They see who wins. I don't know how much time they spend this. I know they spend a lot of money on it, which is another one. Not using the Lord's resources, not good stewardship. There's another one, Brother Kuo. I said, the one good thing about golf, if you don't have a cart, you get exercise, meaning walking. So there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I think I'd like to take a long walk because God built our bodies for walking, not running. So some, like Frisbee golf, I told Brother Kua that, well, they do walk around and they get a little exercise. That doesn't take away all the other stuff that's negative. But yeah, the only thing I can think of is to get outside, get some fresh air and walk your temple around, which walking is good exercise. I can't think of anything other redeeming about these things than that.
And hey, if you want to go walk along the trails with a pocket full of gospel cards, and you'll still see God's creation recreate, go for a long walk, but you're actually not going to be in sin.
Brother Patrick, you and I must have the same mindset. That young guy that was a bodybuilder, I'm talking to him in front of the gas station, second time I had witnessed to him, he met me last year, he came up to me this time. He goes, I just love working out so much, it makes me feel good, and I get exercise. And I said, I've been there. I used to be a bodybuilder. I said, exactly what you said. I said, why don't you submit your life to Christ, become holy? And I said, why don't you walk all over town preaching and handing out gospel cards? You'll get tons of exercise. He just looked at the ground and shrugged his shoulders. What's he going to say to that? Yeah, that's not as fun. People are going to hate me, whereas now people look at me and they look at my muscles. It's prideful. It makes me feel good. Yeah, so what about stewardship? Not good steward of time, not good steward of money, not good steward of the resources God gave you. There's another one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's...
Hey, here's another one to throw in there.
Yeah.
When you're doing that, are you in any way being fruitful?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, produce much fruit. Where's the fruit in that? And then here's one. Okay, ready? Here's one. People say, well... I do it for the chance to get close to other people so I can witness to them. Have you ever heard this?
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know what I tell them? What's the answer to that? Well, I go to high school football, get involved so I can witness the gospel people and get to know them. What's a good answer for that? To a person that's claiming to be a Christian, what would you say to that?
How do you want to call them out of the world when you're joining them in it?
That's perfect. And then what would you tell them? What's a better idea, Brother Kuo?
How about you stand outside of the event and call out the people from the event instead of going into the event and participating in everything? So,
ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. I met a young man one time and he walked up to me. I was street preaching. He walked up to me. He's 15. He was listening for the longest time. He goes, preacher, can I ask you a question? I said, yes, young man. He goes, what's wrong with football? And I said, well, it depends, sir. I said, what's the context? Let's talk about it. He said, well, I'm high school football. Is that bad? I said, it's high school, NFL. I said, it doesn't matter. I said, is it rowdy, covetous, immodest, violent? He goes, it is. And he said, but he got all excited. He goes, but what if I do it because I want to get close to them and I invite them to church and I want them to know Jesus? And I looked at him and I said, young man, I said, if you really are doing that for Jesus, I said, Christ would have you cleanse yourself of all unrighteousness, get holy, and stand outside the football practice and hand out gospel cards. He looked, I said, then anybody that wants Christ will come up to you. He looked down, he goes, yeah, I guess I could do that. So think about a 15-year-old. He's playing, he's having fun, he's got the football uniform, and he thinks, his pastor goes, well, you're there to invite people to church. Now the preacher says, why don't you get holy and righteous because of what Christ did for you and repent, and then just stand outside with gospel cards. Kind of takes all the fun out of it fleshly, doesn't it, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Now he'll be hated instead of adored.
Yeah.
I think we covered it pretty good. Good job, brothers. Anything else as we close out this audio?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a ton more, but I guess this will edify those who have ears to hear, and those who at this point don't have ears to hear, they're just simply not going to hear.
Yeah, like we said about a false teacher, if you show somebody 6 or 8 heresies about him and they won't listen, do you think they're going to listen when you show them 12?
No.
Probably not. Anything else, Brother Kuo or Brother Kevin?
No, I think we covered it pretty well, unless Brother Kevin's got something.
I think that's a pretty good list. I have like half a dozen things written down, at least.
Amen. Amen. All right, thanks, brothers. We'll do another video, another audio another time.